So what if instead of focusing on trying to figure out alcohol, you tried to figure out yourself? You learned how to do all of the things that you think alcohol is doing for you, but better. You tapped into really understanding what the messages from your body meant and how to use your emotions to your advantage and how to really expand your desires to get what it is you finally really want and have real, lasting, sustainable pleasure. That is possible for you, and it is all available to you in the self-study course, The Naturally Sober Woman. It is everything that I teach my one-on-one clients, but it is compact for you. Lifetime access on demand at a super affordable price available to you right now. You're going to go to my website, marywagstaffcoach.com. Right there, it'll say self-study course, or follow the link in the show notes right here. Get in there. One short video, just the welcome ceremony. There's a beautiful commencement ceremony that really anchors you into your intention for wanting to make this change into your life, will change your life forever. It'll put you on a trajectory of new possibility, because the bigger your desire is, the easier it's going to be to say goodbye to alcohol. So go on over to my website, get inside of The Naturally Sober Woman, and I will see you in there. Welcome, welcome. My name is Mary Wagstaff. I am a holistic alcohol coach who ended a 20-year relationship to alcohol without labels, counting days, or ever making excuses. Now I help women just like you from around the world do the same with my one-on-one private coaching program. In this podcast, we will explore my revolutionary approach to getting alcohol out of your way that breaks all the rules, life-enhancing tools that make not drinking exciting and joyful, and the profound and sacred journey that it is to rediscover who you are on the other side of alcohol. This show is not a substitution for rehabilitation, medical treatment, or advice, so please talk to a medical professional if your alcohol consumption is at risk to your mental or physical health. Now on with the show. Well, hello. Welcome back to the show, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for being here. I realize that there's a lot going on out in the world and out in the collective, and there's this thing I learned as a young yogini, which is your energy flows where your attention goes. And I think it's a really important time to utilize your energy for the most gain that you can get. And it's really easy to get distracted by the big bangs, right? By all of the things that kind of give us that quick dopamine hit. And that is really what happens when we give our attention to something. We give our attention to something that's going to create some sort of response, right? Some sort of kind of bigger emotion. And a lot of times it's not serving us. Most of the time it's not serving us. But we continue to go back to that habitual imbalance because it's familiar, right? We kind of have been conditioned to live in fight or flight. And in so many ways, this is the process of changing your relationship to alcohol. This is why it's challenging to change your relationship to alcohol, because once you gain more control of your thinking and just actually gain more of an awareness of your thoughts alone, you realize that so many of the things that you thought were problems really are blessings and really are what has created an abundant life for you. And so if you have no problems, and this isn't, you know, invalidating your emotions in any way, but when you can just be really honest about that and start to be more open-minded to shifting your perspective in a new way, then what do you do, right? Then what do you do with your time if you're not stressed out and drinking, or if you're not, you know, kind of recovering from a hangover and in this kind of constant state of indulging in an emotional roller coaster of something that truly, first of all, A, in the end doesn't really matter, and B, isn't necessarily real. It feels real. The emotions themselves are real, and that's what we validate, and that's okay because that's what being human is, and it's about figuring it out. But a lot of times our perception, which is our thinking that creates the emotion, isn't really what we thought it was, right? And so we kind of have to go back to, what are the stories that you know that I've created? What is the story that I live by that was dictated by, you know, an authority? I just learned this term that that I think is really cool: concrete authority and abstract authority. So we are born into this idea of concrete authority, where what our parents say goes. That's just the way it is. What the government says goes. That's just the way it is. What our teachers say goes. That's just the way it is. Our boss, that's just the way it is. And then we become parents or, you know, spouses. You do it. Why? Because I said so, right? And then there's just like this really limited framework of thinking. And I'm not saying that any of those people are wrong, and it's really great to have authority to help guide you and to model from. You know, I mean, that this is one of the things that I hope to do for clients, and that I know I have many mentors in my life, many teachers. But I think the best teacher and the best mentors give you a framework for which to then be, you know, then impose your own authentic, unique self into it, right? The framework isn't so constricted that you can't think outside of it. And that the invitation to think outside of the framework is actually what creates a more peaceful world, where more problems are solved, more people are validated, we're having more fun, frankly, right? And yes, there are real problems that we face, but when we start to manage our minds and start to have emotional intelligence and emotional embodiment, the circumstance isn't what we have control in changing. It's our response to it that then creates the results in our life, right? So a lot of times it's hard for people to wrap their mind around this concept of creating your reality. Believing is seeing, right? Well, whatever I pay attention to, and this isn't to be ignorant or naive or to bypass anything, but what I pay attention to and what I give my awareness to is going to be the most, is going to utilize my energy in the most efficient way. Because when I'm going to utilize my time, resources, and energy, and attention, which is like the hottest commodity that there is in our modern world, in the most efficient way, well, then I can be of greater service, right? Because I'm not spending so much time having to clean up my own thinking, because I'm just not even putting my thoughts in that direction, right? Where they're just, it's just taking up time that really has no net gain in the end. So time is limited, man. And I am not wasting my time, you know, with things that, like I said, in the end, maybe don't matter, and also that I don't have any control over. So what I have control over is how I choose to think, how I process my emotions, and how I can really discern information, right? And so one of the things when you become really good, when your awareness grows and you become really good at being like your own self-advocate and your own self-coach and the authority or the author of your own life is discernment, right? You don't naturally just see you know, for example, like a news outlet and judge that, right? So you don't like kill the messenger, because if you kill the messenger, you might miss the truth. So that's just one example where you just kind of look at the at information that's being presented, whether it's factual or not. And then you have this ability to tune into your own innate intuition and just, you know, kind of ask, well, what's serving me in the end, which is generating more results in the future? Am I kind of judging the outer circumstances and creating to be take the, to let that take my power away and kind of that victim mentality? Or am I going to see it from a neutral perspective and just take the bits and pieces that allow me to regain my power so that I can be the most, use my energy and my attention most efficiently? So that's my suggestion to you, is if you're gonna, you know, put your attention somewhere, make sure that you're A, doing it from a neutral perspective, that your judgment isn't clouding, you know, your discernment, your ability to decipher what the information is that's A, serving you best, and B, like, does it need to even go there at all? And this could be happening in your home. You guys have heard me talk about Matthew before in his garage. Like, what he does with his time, as long as like we have a mutual agreement, is none of my business. You know, how he wants to choose his to spend his free time. And trust me, it's been really, it would be really easy for me to tell him how to, I think he should spend his free time. Absolutely, 100%. But like, I don't want someone telling me how to spend my free time. And why do I really care in the end? Like, it doesn't really affect me. And if it does, then we have, you know, a conversation that comes from wanting to be heard and understood and, you know, an agreement versus you're doing it wrong. And that kind of is the segue into all of the things that you are doing right, because you do take time to intentionally place your attention on things that are important to you. But I know that alcohol has gotten in the way of that, being able to really control and mitigate where you're placing your precious, precious attention. I mean, it's true. I mean, water is a great resource, but your attention is the hottest commodity. It is what people are making money off of all the time. So first of all, I wanted to say thank you for your attention today, because I want your attention to be here so that it can, so that you can grow your awareness and thinking about possibility, right? So that you can expand your framework about what you have control over and how alcohol is just getting in the way of that. You know, you've changed, you've grown, you're a different woman, your values and your perspectives and your priorities on life are much different at this moment than they were when you first started drinking. So why alcohol as a habit or as like a hobby or, a leisurely activity continues to be the same when so many of our other, the other ways we spend our time and the other ways we give our attention change as we grow. So, you know, one of the first reasons is a cultural norm. It's an agreed upon cultural norm that we keep getting sold, right? It's big money. That's one thing you got to realize. There is a lot of money that goes into this upholding this story that alcohol is a norm. And, you know, honestly, I mean, even as far as like quote unquote authorities or the experts out there, I will say, you know, it doesn't make much sense to me why alcohol as an epidemic, as many people as, and this isn't like to, you know, to villainize alcohol or anything, but it does kill a lot of people. It doesn't really have any benefits it doesn't really have a benefit once you start examining it. You see that intentionally drinking for a benefit, they're really, if you want to be very intentional about your drinking, there really isn't any. In fact, it creates a deficit in our resilience and what's possible for us and what we're capable of. And this is without shame or judgment, of course, but it's kind of interesting to look at why, when every other drug is criminalized, why this one maintains its legal status and is even, when you kind of go into the CDC website, how there's like an acceptable amount of drinking, but we know that there really isn't. There, all alcohol creates gray matter in the brain. So one sip is affecting your brain, your brain cells, and your ability for cognition. So that's just like an interesting thing to think about, the authorship of your life. I mean, is that true? In my opinion, it's not. One drink a day will form a habit that's hard to break, that will have an emotional attachment to it. And so that's something that's not really explored in that framework. And then there's other things, and I'm sure I've talked about this on the show. Cannabis is something that also creates emotional addictions and emotional habitual attachments, but like has no track record of harm, of killing people, or people dying by cannabis consumption. I mean, I'm sure there's like a study somewhere, but so it's just interesting to look at all of the input that we have, and really having to just say like, these are just human brains also. And I understand it's to kind of create, some guidelines for structure, or just so things can maybe run a little bit more smoothly. But I think on an individual level, it can be very detrimental when we think, well, alcohol is just normal, right? That's just what you do as an adult. Look at right here on this website. It says this is okay. When your firsthand experience says something different. So that's my invitation to you, is to really explore from your firsthand experience what's possible, not because someone else tells you so, but is to also find the example, the model of who's doing what you want to do, and like follow their lead, right? I mean, that's how I changed my relationship with alcohol. Was I had a mentor that I thought was friggin' bomb, and she was so successful, and she had changed her relationship with alcohol. I was like, oh my God. As soon as I knew that person could do that and have an amazing, fun, successful life, I was like, oh, that's me. I'm going for that. And that changed everything for me. So I wanted to tell you all of the things that you're doing right, because you wouldn't be here right now and be so successful in your life if you were just doing everything wrong. And I know I had that series of the five mistakes that people make that make quitting drinking impossible. So I don't want you to think that you're just making mistakes. And the first episode of that was the truth that there really are no mistakes. There are no right or wrong. That's just a thought. That's just a judgment and an opinion by someone else that there is a right and a wrong way to do things. I wanted to tell you about all the things that you're doing right. And if you follow the thread towards what feels good and feels inspiring and you're already proud of, versus just focusing on drinking less or I'm not drinking, then the brain wants to go there. It feels inspired, right? So you're creating, it's really kind of a goal-oriented or outcome-driven shift in your mindset. So the first thing that you're doing right is you are a powerhouse of manifestation and co-creation with the universe, with the powers that be, right? Whatever, your brain, everything that you have in your life right now that you want, you have created, you have made choices for, whatever it is. So I just want you to think about all of the things that you have in your life that you desire, that you like, if they were all taken away, you would like go out and get them again. Your home, your education, your children, you could ask yourself the question, would I do it again tomorrow? All of those things that you would do again tomorrow, even, the things that you buy, your car, where you're at with your health, right? So we have all of these things that you have already created. You have made choices to create this beautiful, abundant life. And so when you focus on the things that you've already created, and then you start to generate that gratitude and that abundance mindset, and you start to think about all of the wants that you have that alcohol is inhibiting, then you can start to think into this positive perspective. And you're like, well, you have evidence already. It's like, well, wow, look at what I've created. I have all this amazing stuff, right? I did all of these amazing hard things. I have this beautiful garden. I learned how to play the ukulele, like whatever it is, right? And look at that, just, you know, all the things, all the little things, like I keep this home and it's beautiful. I have enough money to like hire a landscaper, or I can go on a trip, or whatever it is. There's so many small things. I read a book a week, or just knowing that your thoughts and your choices have created those results in your life, right? So you are powerful. And when you have all of this time not drinking, wow, now you get to focus on all of the other things that you really want, that you desire, right? Not from a place of consumption, but from a place of getting excited about what's possible, right? We're clearing kind of a big area of our property that doesn't have a ton of trees on it, but there's like a lot of stumps. So it's already kind of this big open space, and I'm creating this like epic garden, and we have all these deer. So I have to fence in like all this, we have to make this huge fence, but I'm so excited. I've like dreamed of always having a beautiful garden of cut flowers and, you know, to be able to share produce. If people come over, like they can walk in the garden and we can like make fresh tea from the garden. And I'm going to put like a couple little camping spots out there and some tables to sit at. It's going to be, you know, like my dream, like seriously, one of my dreams come true. I'm so excited about this. And we're starting that. And that's the things that I get to do on the other side of alcohol. I mean, yeah, sure, you can get stuff done, but the amount of time and energy and effort and money that alcohol has taken from me, I mean, I wouldn't even be able to. Like, I don't even know if I'd be in this house if I was still drinking, right? So just not even because of the mindset, not because we couldn't afford it, not because, but the effort, the putting the energy in, right? Like you just get to be like more driven and more living into possibility, okay? The second thing that you're doing right is that you support others. There's someone in your life that you are there for, that whether it's your clients, your customers, your children, your mother, your neighbor, you volunteer, a pet, there is someone in your life that you support in some way. So I want you to think about, how do you show up for other people? And what do people come to you for? Right? It doesn't matter if you're getting paid for it. It doesn't matter, right? I just want you to think about the way in which you give. I want you to think about that. How do you give? And then I want you to realize that you have that skill to offer to yourself. And that is the process of changing your relationship to alcohol, is offering yourself the same attention and the same validation and the same love and the same trust and the same belief in potential and possibility that you would offer to the other. So I want you to really think about the way you support others, because you have the skill already. You just have to start flipping that lens inward and really feeling that. Okay, so I want you to write down all of the ways that you support others and what you would tell one of these people that you support, what you would tell them if they were ready to make a shift in this journey, if alcohol was no longer in alignment with the values and the woman that they wanted to be in the world, what would you tell them? And I want you then to tell yourself that. I want you to flip the script and say, it's okay that this is challenging because we've done this for a really long time, but I'm here for you and I'm not going anywhere. And nothing has gone wrong. That makes all the difference in the world. And I want you to sit with yourself and really say that out loud. and see how that feels. It might feel a little weird, but actually in the end, when you get good at that, it feels really amazing. I mean, I have to talk to myself like that all the time. You do hard things on purpose. This is number three. Okay. So you have learned new things. You have challenged yourself. You have accomplished things. You do hard things on purpose. When you apply for a job, you know, when you have a baby, when you learn a new skill, when you work out, when you have a challenging conversation, I want you to think about the things that you do that are hard on purpose. I always like to use the example of working out because physical movement has been a really big part of my life for a long time. And, you know, I've been a yoga practitioner for 20 years. And when I first started doing yoga, I was like, this hurts. You know, that was kind of what I was thinking. But I kept showing up for it because I was really liking the connection, like the mind-body inward connection of the breath and all of that, all of those amazing, wonderful things. And the more I did that, I started to generate evidence for the belief on the other side of it that there was a benefit, right? So when you work out and you feel physical sensation and you feel physical discomfort, your brain knows that it's for a purpose, right? You have some positive self-talk because you know what there's a benefit to the outcome. So if you're a runner, it's like, yeah, you can do it one more mile, right? Like you can see the finish line. Like there's ways that we pump ourselves up, or you're lifting weights, or you're doing a HIIT workout or something like this. And you know the results, like you already know the benefit that it's, you have the evidence. You know your brain is going to feel really proud and your body's going to feel awesome and alive, right? Or after a yoga class, you just feel really connected and peaceful and present. So think about something like that you have done in the past that's been really hard, that's challenged yourself, that you didn't need alcohol to get through, and why you do it, right? And so this too can be the same thing for unlearning the habit of alcohol. There's going to be some discomfort, but you focus on the result on the other side, the possibility on the other side. And right now it seems so hard because part of you doesn't believe it's possible. Part of you believes it won't matter. Part of you believes that it won't be as much fun. You have to uncover what that is to overcome that objection and prove it wrong, because we live in a universe where anything's possible, right? We live in a world where really anything's possible. And if you see someone else doing it, and I'm an example, you don't even have to go look any further, of living a really wonderful and joyful, amazing life without the presence of alcohol, then you can do it too. But I want you to have the evidence that you have learned something, that you have practiced something that felt uncomfortable because you knew what the results were, because you had seen other people do it and you knew that there was an outcome, or because it was more of a cultural norm, right? Going to college, getting married, right? Like these things that can be uncomfortable, even, you know, starting new relationship. I mean, being in a relationship, a long-term relationship takes effort. It takes negotiation. It takes some discomfort, right? But you're willing to do it because you love someone, because you love being in a relationship, because you, the family is really important to you, whatever it is. So I want you to look at that and how you haven't had to drink your way through those things, right? And then when it comes to unlearning alcohol, I want you to understand that it's no different. You are learning to just, you're learning to think from a different place in your brain, from a place where you choose love, you choose positivity, and you choose self-validation and compassion and curiosity, right? So you're just learning to think differently, and that takes practice. The fourth thing that you do, right, because you're amazing, is you trust your intuition. You connect with your higher self. So think about a time when you have been that author of your own life, where you have done things different than the way that they were taught before. I mean, it could even be something like, you know, you weren't encouraged to go to college and you maybe were like the first person to graduate college, or you started a business and everyone told you that it wasn't going to work, or you went into a relationship of something that people didn't like. You know, you did some esoteric arts. Like, I mean, you know, where whether it was like studying Reiki or yoga or something that like no one else did, you decided a different religious path or a different political path, right? So think about a time where you really trusted your deep knowing, where it wasn't the popular opinion. Right? The way you raise your children, maybe you homeschool them, maybe you sent them to a private school, maybe you supplemented, you took their public school education and you really implemented, you know, your own framework from it. Whatever it is that felt like it was outside of the status quo, have created a better life for you. And in turn, greater acts of service for the whole. Because I know that you are a beautiful, intuitive person. We all are. And this is the thing that alcohol dampens the most, is your wisdom. You have lived a life till now. Your body has so much knowledge, so much wisdom, that alcohol is covering that up. And the world needs it. Your people need it, and you need it to have amazing, fulfilling life. The fifth thing that you do that you're doing right, of all the things that you do right, because you're awesome, is you're human and you were made to feel emotions. Like, you didn't need to try to figure that out. You emote, right? Why are emojis so powerful and like a thing, right? Because this is how we express ourselves, through emotions. Why is it so easy to get triggered by a text message? Because we're emotional and because we don't understand, right? There's a gap in communication or connection, right? Because words aren't the only way we connect, right? It's like communication through words. Like, sometimes you can overthink or overtalk your intention. This is something I'm working on myself, is sometimes it's about how can I connect with myself? How am I connecting through communication, through just emotion, through how am I expressing my emotion so that it's heard with my intention? Maybe less is more. Maybe I need to give myself more time to think, right? So what so many of my clients uncover is that they're not behind. In life, there's no such thing as behind. You're never behind. That this life is a series of experiences, one after the other, and it's cyclical. It's not linear. And there's no race. And it was done the day you were born, right? You've been given everything that you've needed the day you were born, the humanness. And sometimes what feels like a setback is part of the whole thing, is just filling in the gap, is part of the journey. And it's so, so, so important to remember that you can't out create a miracle. Like, think about your body taking in breath, letting out CO2, the trees filter the CO2, you plant a seed, it gives you the fruit. Like, what? The waters, the earth, the trees, the crystals, the iron. What? It's amazing. It's mind-blowing. The moon, the sun. You are part of that. You're not separate from that. We always talk about connecting with nature. Well, you are nature. So it's connecting with yourself. You're already doing it. Just by being here. So stop trying to figure it out. Stop thinking you're behind. Move towards satisfaction. Love yourself more, and you will create more peace in the world. I mean, this is literally how world peace is created. When we stop trying to tell other people how to do it, saying that that's wrong, or this is how you should do it, and we create more peace on our inside. So we become anchored in our truth of knowing our personal power. Then there's just less conflict already. And now you have service. And now you can be, now that like you become the example and you become kind of that lighthouse, that beacon. And you probably already are that to so many people. but you haven't yet owned it. You haven't yet accepted it. You haven't yet recognized it because you're trying to fix yourself or heal, or once I do this, then I can be happy. It's already here available for you. And that's why alcohol is just negating that truth. It's saying to you, something about this moment should be different. I'm telling you, you got to step up to the plate and own it. You have to recognize yourself as love. You are the essence of love. I mean, that's what we all are here, right? It's scarier to think how powerful you are if you just move from the place of love. It's easier to sit in the fear, but it doesn't feel good. Because if you have no problems, right? If your problems are like just thoughts, well, wow, then I can do anything. And that's kind of scary, all the possibility, right? Unless you just play. What if you couldn't be wrong? What if the only problems were your thoughts about the circumstance? Who do you want to be? How is alcohol in the way of that? Follow the thoughts of what you are gaining on the other side, not what you aren't doing, right? So you don't focus on, I'm not drinking less, right? You focus on, I'm present, I feel amazing, I get to connect, I get to know myself. Wow, what? I get to hear the whole set of this band without fading into oblivion. Get to show up and honor your commitments. You get to learn how to have self-accountability. You get to learn how to process your emotions. So when you catch yourself just going in that habitual imbalance of kind of that negative thought spiral, remember that that's just a thought and that you're practicing a new way of thinking. So you have to be open-minded, right? You can kind of be in that comfort of all the emotions, of all that indulging, but where is that serving you, right? So again, all of the things you are doing right. One, you are a powerhouse of manifestation and co-creation. Two, you have the skills to support yourself by supporting others, the people that you already supported. Three, you do hard things on purpose. You already have. You've accomplished so much. Four, you have intuition that has made your life and the lives of others better. Follow it. Trust it. You are the authority of your own life. No one else can be. You're grown. Right? You're a grown woman. You don't need anyone telling you what to do. Five, you're human. You were made to feel emotions. You're already a miracle. I love you so much. If you haven't yet, if you've been listening to the show, or if you're a client of mine, please leave me a review. I would love that. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting to hear what people are taking away from the show and how they're changing their lives. And just by listening to the show, you're already starting the process, okay? So I would love to have a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and just have an amazing week. Be really mindful this week of where you're placing your attention, and just think like, what if I just place my attention on loving myself more and on how beautiful the falling leaves are? What would happen then? And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, then you know how beautiful the spring is. I love you. Have an amazing week. Bye. If a life of deeper self-mastery and feminine embodiment is calling you, but alcohol is the one constant in your way, I want to invite you to check out my one-on-one coaching program. It's your opportunity to apply the tools and principles from the show to your life one step at a time. Together, we create the safe and sacred container to explore the habit of alcohol, the power of choice, and awaken your inner light. Schedule a complimentary alignment session where I will help you uncover the next best step for you on your journey of discovering what's possible on the other side of alcohol. Follow the link in the show notes or on my website, marywagstaffcoach.com. I can't wait to connect.